Blog Talk Radio.
Tributes to mothers have existed in individual societies throughout time, but never in such large numbers before the singular act of one woman who pushed the idea to the international stage. In 1868, Anne Jarvis lit the torch in the ashes of the Civil War by creating an annual memorial for mothers. It was her daughter, Anna Jarvis, who spread the seed of Mother's Day into the international celebration that it has become today. I'm going to talk to you today about Mother's Day, not just here in the United States, but we're going to go to other cultures around the world to see how it has spread throughout and become a celebrated holiday throughout the world. And I will pay tribute to my own mother, the late Gwendolyn Charleston Copeland, and my daughters, grandmothers, aunts, and cousins who complete the Mother's Day circle in my family. This show will help you celebrate the resilience of women worldwide whose roles and responsibilities in raising and nurturing children will never be replaced. This is Carol Copeland Thomas, and you're listening to Focus on Empowerment. Hello, this is Carol Copeland Thomas. We're so glad that you have joined us today, either by phone or in the chat room, or if you're listening to this program as an archive. I want it to be of meaning and value to you. Obviously, Mother's Day means different things to different people, in a happy way, in a very sad way, or a mixture of the two. But I hope that you'll get a sense of why this holiday caught on, how it was really generated by the love and the devotion of one woman, and then other women who also had similar kinds of goals in other parts of the United States, and then how the holiday then jumped to different countries and is now being represented in different formats, different dates, different religious traditions based on the love and the devotion of women who fulfill that really wonderful role of being a mother. But before we get started, I want to again let you know how excited I am about the upcoming cruise that we are planning for and really excited about. It's happening next April, April 13th to April 20th. We give you almost a full year to plan out your budget, to get this in your budget so that you can come and sail with us. I've had an idea for quite some time with the Multicultural Symposium series to make sure that people have an opportunity to see the world, whether it is close by or whether it's thousands of miles away. So we started off with a cruise, something that's sort of comfort food. Many Americans know about cruising. They have an opportunity to go on cruise as well as people around the world. And so we're going to go to some wonderful, wonderful islands, just Puerto Rico to St. Kitts and St. Martin's over an 8-day period of time, 7 nights, where you can just come and forget all your troubles, enjoy all this beautiful food, the ambiance of the group that we're going to be gathering on the Celebrity Series Ship Reflections. And then we're also bringing along a wonderful, very well-versed young professional who is a faculty member at the College of the Bahamas. Her name is Dr. Ada McKenzie. She is from Boston, an African-American of West Indian or Caribbean roots. Her dad is from Jamaica. Her mom is from the United States. And because of that heritage, she has become now almost a leading expert on Caribbean culture. So while we're on board ship, thousands of miles away from your home, you'll have an opportunity to learn from Dr. Ada McKenzie about the customs and traditions of the Caribbean islands, even if you're from the Caribbean islands, because I live in Boston and there are many people here who are of Caribbean descent, but you don't know all that you should know about your homeland or the neighboring islands in that part of the world. So you'll have a chance to learn from a well-researched and documented scholar, Dr. Ada McKenzie, who is very well adept to crowds like we're going to have on the ship. So you'll have a lot of fun for about an hour each day learning about the islands and then jumping off the ship and going to visit these wonderful places and then coming back and exploring it some more with the friends who you are going to meet on this great cultural Caribbean cruise. It's next year, April 13th to the 20th. As long as you can get to Miami, Florida, you can come with us. Doesn't make any difference where you live in the world. It's going to leave from Miami on that Saturday afternoon and then come back early Saturday the next week, and it's going to be great, great fun. So we want you to come with the Multicultural Symposium Series with us next year, April 13th to the 20th, 2013, so you can start planning now. I know there's lots of activities going on next year, whether you belong to different organizations, faith-based organizations, your job as well. It is school vacation week for Massachusetts and I believe Rhode Island, and so you can plan now to come with us on that great, great cruise that we're planning next year, the Cultural Caribbean Cruise, part of the Multicultural Symposium Series Travel Club, where you can travel with us next year on this great cruise. You can find out more about it. It just takes a $250 deposit, and then you can find out more at mssconnect.com. That's our website, www.mssconnect.com. Connect.com. Learn more about it and you can have fun. I'm really excited too because I am finishing my book on multiculturalism and diversity. It's going to be out next month, so we're going to tell you more about it in the coming weeks. We'd love for you to pick up a copy for yourself. I even had a friend and colleague tell me she's going to buy one for her library. I think that's a great idea. And it's going to give you some practical things that you can do to promote and advocate for multiculturalism in your respective town, village, community, church, organization, corporation, wherever you happen to be. These are ways we're giving you actual suggestions, resources, and ways that you can advance the cause of multiculturalism and diversity wherever you happen to live or work. So I'm excited about the book, and I will again tell you more about that in the coming weeks. Well, Mother's Day started in our country, in the United States, and I know I have people listening from all over the world, but it started in the tradition of Mother's Day started in right at the heels, the ashes of the Civil War. And it's because of Ann Jarvis in 1868. She actually created a committee and established Mother's Friendship Day. And then the whole purpose was a very noble one. They had just overcome a horrific war. Over a half million people, 600,000 people had died in the Civil War. And in this country, we had not had a Civil War like this before, where you had cousins and uncles and aunts and nephews on different sides of the political spectrum, some who lived, let's say, in Maryland or in Ohio, and they had cousins in nearby Kentucky, in the case of Cincinnati, Ohio, being part of the North, and people who lived in Paducah, Kentucky, who were part of the Confederacy, and all of the deaths that took place and the divisiveness. And so there were probably many attempts all over the United States, and this is one that actually worked, where this woman, who was from West Virginia, she was a member of a Methodist Episcopal church in West Virginia, and she thought it noble enough to bring people together and bring families back together who had been split apart by the Civil War. And so she wanted to expand the idea once beginning it in 1868, and so it began as an annual memorial for mothers. And I know all about memorials and children who die, and in this case I don't know what it's like to have a son to die in battle, but there were many, many women who had their sons who had died in battle or family members who had been caught up in the war and one thing led to another and they passed away. Well, she worked very, very hard and didn't see her dream come true to the full extent, but she had a wonderful daughter, Anna Jarvis, who decided to continue the efforts. And it was not just Ann Jarvis. There were other people and other women who also played a part in Mother's Day. There were people like Julia Ward Howe, who I believe was responsible as well with the Girl Scouts. They actually celebrated their 100th anniversary a little while ago. In New York City, Julia Ward Howe led a Mother's Day anti-war observance on June 2nd, 1872, which was accompanied by a Mother's Day proclamation. And the observance was actually continued in Boston, where I live, for about 10 years under Howe's personal sponsorship, and then it died out, like some things happen when you have only one person who is the advocate. So often things don't continue to go forward unless they can spread the word and they can get other people involved. And several years later, there was a Mother's Day observance in May 13th, 1877, held in Albion, Michigan. I'm from Michigan, over a dispute related to the temperance movement, again, trying to stop drinking. It's interesting how these political, military components have had a play in Mother's Day. And according to local legend, Albion pioneer Juliet Calhoun Blakely stepped out to complete the sermon of the Reverend Myron Dougherty, who was distraught because an anti-temperance group had forced his son and two of the temperance advocates to spend the night in a saloon, and they became publicly drunk. That's folklore that we're reading from. From the pulpit, Blakely called on other mothers to join her, and Blakely's two sons, both traveling salesmen, were so moved that they vowed to return each year to pay tribute to her and embarked upon a campaign to urge her business contacts to do to do likewise. And at their urging, in the early 1880s, the Methodist Episcopal Church in Albion set aside the second Sunday in May to recognize the special contributions of mothers. I have a little bit of allegiance and connection to the Methodist Episcopal Church since I'm a member of the African Methodist Episcopal Church. And so, you know, it goes on, but finally, and again, Ann Jarvis passed away in 1905. And in its present form, Mother's Day has been established by her daughter with the help of Philadelphia merchant John Wanamaker. And actually, he had a very famous store that has now morphed into Macy's, but famous department store. And this was following the death of Anna's mom, Ann Jarvis, on May 9th, 1905. And that's interesting because we're May 10th recording this program and here that happened many, many years ago, a day plus ago. A small service was held on May 12, 1907 at the Andrews Methodist Episcopal Church in Grafton, West Virginia. That was Ann's hometown, and it's where Anna's mother, Ann Jarvis, had been teaching Sunday school. But the first official service was on May 10th. So again, not, you know, some years ago, and this is May 10th when we're recording this program, 1908, at the same church, accompanied by a larger ceremony in the Wanamaker Auditorium in Wanamaker's store in Philadelphia. John Wanamaker, I used to go in that store many, many times in the 70s when I lived in Philadelphia. It was a very large department store. Again, now it's part of the Macy's store complex, should I say. The next year, the day was reported to be widely celebrated in New York. So it began to spread in the early part of the 1900s. And Jarvis then campaigned to establish Mother's Day first as a U.S. national holiday and later as an international holiday. And I believe she passed away in the 50s, I believe. But again, one woman, her mom, who then spread the idea, one thing led to another, and now we have Mother's Day. There were a number of proclamations, things like this begin to then get recognized with the U.S. Congress, as it did on May 8, 1914. The U.S. Congress passed a law designating the second Sunday in May as Mother's Day. and requesting a proclamation, which it got. And then on May 9th, 1914, President Woodrow Wilson, this is right on the eve of World War I, issued a proclamation declaring the first national Mother's Day as a day for American citizens to show the flag in honor of those mothers whose sons had died in war. So this was directly related to the Civil War, as was Memorial Day, which was directly related to the Civil War, and other holidays related to warfare. In 1934, President Franklin Roosevelt approved a stamp commemorating the holiday, and in May of 2008, the U.S. House of Representatives voted twice on a resolution commemorating Mother's Day, the first one being unanimous, with 21 members who didn't vote. The Grafton Church, where the first celebration was held, is now the International Mother's Day Shrine, and it is a National Historic Landmark. So, yes, we had different people, different women who were involved in Mother's Day, but it was largely this Jarvis family, first Anne and then Anna, who really picked up the banner, and they didn't stop. They didn't let it die. They continued to talk about it. And now it's a multi-billion dollar industry. And I'll read you some facts in just a few minutes. But it has also become something extremely important around the world. So it started off in the United States, even though there have been tributes to mothers all over the planet since the beginning of time. But it certainly has become internationalized because of what has happened. It says, as the U.S. holiday was adopted by other countries and cultures, the date was changed to fit according to the existing celebrations honoring motherhood. For example, Mothering Sunday in the United Kingdom, or in Greece, the Orthodox celebration of the presentation of Jesus Christ to the temple. Mothering Sunday in the UK is often called Mother's Day, even although it is an unrelated celebration. In some countries, the date was changed to one that was significant to the majority religion, and that certainly makes sense, such as the Virgin Mary Day in Catholic countries. Other countries celebrated a date with historical significance, such as Bolivia, using the date of a battle where women participated. And so, to give you an example, you look at even some of the Arab countries where Mother's Day is celebrated. Mother's Day in most Arab countries is celebrated on the 21st of March. March, again, we look at March now as Women's History Month, but it also has an international component to it. So you'll see Mother's Day being celebrated in March in many parts of the world. It was introduced in Egypt by journalist Mustafa Amin in his book Smiling America in 1943. The idea was overlooked, but when Amin heard the story of a widowed mother who devoted her whole life to raise her son until he became a doctor, got married, and left without showing her any gratitude, Amin became motivated to promote for Mother's Day. The idea was first ridiculed by General Gamal Nasser, but he eventually accepted it as Mother's Day, and it was celebrated on the 21st of March in 1956 in Egypt for the first time. The practice has since been copied by other Arab countries as well. And then you look at other countries in Jordan. Jordan's Mother's Day is observed on the 21st of March. It's the first day of spring in the Northern Hemisphere. So, again, that is involved. In Afghanistan, Mother's Day is celebrated on the 12th of June and on the second Saturday in June. In Argentina, it's celebrated on the third Sunday of October. It was celebrated on October 11th, the old liturgical date for the celebration of the Virgin Mary. So again, we have this religious connection as well. And then it was moved after that time. Around 1982, the National Merchants asked that it be moved to the third Sunday of October, in order to reactivate the sales of the second half of the month. So it's been also used for commercial purposes as well. In Bangladesh, I think these are really interesting how one holiday, one particular event, in this case Mother's Day, which is so very important to so many people. In Bangladesh, Mother's Day is celebrated on the second Sunday of the month of May. It's observed on the day of discussion programs are organized by the government and non-governmental organizations. Reception programs, cultural programs are organized to mark the day in the capital city. And television channels air special programs, newspapers publish special features and columns to mark the day, and they also have flowers and greeting cards and the like. And in Canada, Mother's Day in Canada is celebrated, again, on the second Sunday in May. It's not a public holiday or bank holiday and typically involves small celebrations of gift-giving to one's mother, grandmother, or other important female figure in the family. And then in China, let's talk about what goes on there. In China, it's becoming more popular with carnations, which is the standard flower that is associated with Mother's Day, a very popular gift and the most sold type of flower. In 1997 in China, it was set as a day to help poor mothers, especially to remind people of the poor mothers in rural areas in China's western region. And in the People's Daily, the Chinese government's official newspaper, an article explained that despite originating in the United States, people in China accept the holiday without hesitation because it is in line with the country's traditional ethics, respect for the elderly, and piety toward parents. So, and I just mothers. I mean, mothers just deserve the credit because mothers, gosh, they do so much all over the world. And in the 20s, this is kind of controversial, Germany had the lowest birth rate, this is in the 20s, Germany had the lowest birth rate in Europe, and it was still declining. It was attributed to women's participation in the labor market. At the same time, all influential groups in societies, left and the right, politicians, etc., thought that mothers should be honored, but could not agree on how to do it. And one thing led to another, and in 1925, the Mother's Day Committee joined the Task Force for the Recovery of the Volk, and the holiday stopped depending on commercial interest, and it was started being about rising the level of population in Germany to promote motherhood. Well, it was politicized, and we know what happened in Germany around that time. So by the time the Nazi Party came to power in 1933 to 1945, it had all changed radically. The propaganda for Mother's Day had increased in many European countries, including the UK and France, and the Nazis increased it from the moment they entered into power. So it became extremely politicized during that time. Now, the holiday is celebrated on the second Sunday in May in a manner similar to nearby European countries. So that's a little walk around the world about how Mother's Day has been captured and the essence of Mother's Day and how it's been paid tribute to, many women have been paid tribute to in their own cultures and practices around the world. This Mother's Day is a tough time for me. It's a day that I certainly celebrate my own mother, Gwendolyn Charleston Copeland, who was absolutely my best friend and was the best mother she could have ever been to me and will always be celebrated. In fact, my brother, Wilson Copeland, and I think we sort of compete for who can love her more, even though she's been gone 14 years. She was absolutely a role model and was such a wonderful, wonderful woman to me. But then I have three children, and just looking at the life that I've had as a mother, I just absolutely adore my daughters, Michelle, who is a teacher's assistant. She's at work right now working with young children. My other daughter, Lorna, who is a clinical psychologist on the way to becoming I think, a great clinical psychologist, a great mom. She's been a mother now for 4 years. Her daughter and her husband's daughter and my granddaughter, Juliana, will be 4 years old next week. And then she has a one-year-old daughter, Gabrielle, and she's a great wife and mom and is just doing a whole lot of juggling. So from that point of view, I am absolutely rich and blessed as a mom. But it's always right front and center, my son, who passed away tragically in a single-occupant car crash 15 years ago, almost 15 years ago, McCarl Darius Thomas Jr., 17 years young, 8 days out of high school, and then tragically died in that car wreck, which then left me a grieving mother forever. No one ever wants to be a grieving mother, but I found myself in that role in 1997. And so my perspective, my appreciation of being a mother and the importance of it has changed over time. And in some ways, I can relate and identify with women who have lost their sons and daughters in warfare and the brave nobility that goes hand in hand with that, but also the pain and suffering that you continue to live with year after year after year. That is something I can relate to from the point of view of being a mother. But, you know, nonetheless, it is a joyous and it is a noble holiday because women and moms are so special and so unique and play such a role. And it doesn't mean that you have to biologically be a mother. I think about my aunts, Camilla, Susie, and Clara, who were just rock solid in my life, never had children themselves, but were nonetheless extremely important in helping to raise me and shape me for who I am, and so many other women. My younger daughter has no children, but my goodness, she is such an important figure in our family, being the aunt to Juliana and Gabrielle. I think about my sister-in-law, who is the mother to my niece, Lauren, Debbie Copeland, and what a great mom she is. And just so many women in my family, grandmothers, great-grandmothers, who have always been there and were there for me. So it's almost like a village concept in terms of what motherhood means and what it is and how important it is, regardless of the biological connection that you have to children. Motherhood is a noble profession and one that is so very important. I want to just very quickly, I'm going to sort of go here, and I'm going to first of all read a comment that was made by one of our Facebook friends, David Otrusky, who says, always remember that no one thing that you did may have seemed bad. You could always go to your mom. She would always accept you back with unconditional love. At least his mom did this. My mother was like that also. And he wishes he could pick up the phone and say, hi, Mom, but he hasn't been able to do that for, in his case, the last 18 years. So moms mean really special things to lots of people. Mothers are extremely important to all of us in our walk of life, in our daily lives. And I hope that even if you have a struggling sense of connection with your own mother, there are lots of circumstances where that has happened. I am just hoping that you can somehow mend the fence. You can build a bridge back to your mother while she's alive. I know that there are aging mothers out there. There are moms out there who are suffering from dementia or Alzheimer's, and maybe you didn't have such a great relationship with your own mother. But I'm hoping somehow you can build a bridge back to your mother. You can figure out a way where you can come to terms with the significance of your life and the significance of her life. And if she was halfway decent as a mom, halfway decent and half of the time put food on the table so that you could eat or tucked you into bed or gave you a hug once in a while, you owe her big time. Moms are worth it. Moms are beautiful examples of God's representation on earth. And to all mothers around the world, I wish you all the very best this Mother's Day weekend. I hope that it will be an opportunity for you to grow closer to your children, and I hope you kids will somehow find a way to tell that mom, no matter who she happens to be, that you love her and you honor and you respect her. This is Carol Copeland Thomas. Enjoy your Mother's Day weekend. We'll be back next week. Thanks so much.